Hebrews of Israelites had grown so very big in Egypt that he wanted to cull them, basically. So his family found this route to put their baby, Moses, in this basket, and that's where he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. So what God allowed to happen, he turned around for good. I wonder how many of you, if you look back on your own lives, can see how God has actually prepared you in advance for something that was about to happen later on. I know I can. Now, we watched the video of how Moses made some very significant choices during his life, and if he hadn't been born into that Hebrew family, he couldn't have been prepared as God prepared him. And that meant his family, his mother and his sister, were also part of God's plan. You might not feel that God's plan is very significant in your life, but actually we all have an area of influence, the people around us, and he wants you and I to use the situations we are in for his purposes. But this would have been, this is an image of the sort of look of the temple, the Pharaoh's house, of what he would have been living in when Moses was young. He'd have had the best of foods, he would have had servants to wait on him, and yet there seems to be something inside him that actually was able to see beyond just his circumstance. He would have grown up learning Egyptian, he'd have been a part of their customs, he was there for a chunk of time, but we know that his real mother was with him during his earlier years. So it seems that she has imparted to him some of his background. She's explained who he truly is. So although he's living in this life of luxury, she had probably said to him, that's not who you really are, it's not your DNA. And we know that basically, we saw it on the video, because of that something inside him, he tried to protect one of his kinsmen, and he ended up killing one of the Egyptians. And because of that, Pharaoh was furious and was out to kill him, and so he ran. And he went to this place called Midian, which is quite a long way away. And there, it seems he got married to Jethro's daughter. Jethro was a landowner, he had lots of sheep, and so now Moses' life was all about herding, looking after sheep. We look through the scriptures, there's an awful lot of shepherds, or stories of shepherding, that are given. Anyway, Moses became a shepherd. So a real step down in his life, from having lived in all luxury to being out on the sides of a hill with a whole bunch of sheep to look after. And we know that what happened, that he was about his job. He was around the area called the Mount of Horeb. And there he noticed something odd. He saw this bush on fire, but he could see that the fire was not burning it up. So he went across there to investigate it, and God spoke to him out of this bush. And God said to him, I've got a plan for you, and I want you to go and do this. And what he said was, go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. He was to go and say to the Pharaoh, will you let the Hebrews go? Now, this wasn't the same Pharaoh, looking back in the history. The Pharaoh that he grew up with had died. So this is a new Pharaoh, and he sounds like a really evil man, very, very vindictive. But of course, Moses knew the language, so he'd been prepared before. He knew the sort of setup of what would need to have to happen for him to go and speak to him. And God is saying, I've prepared you, I've made you for this task. But then we get this wonderful conversation that I think is incredibly human. Because Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out? It's a natural enough question. Who am I? And God doesn't answer the question, but he says, I will be with you. So he doesn't get an answer. He's just told, you're not going on your own, boy. But Moses isn't convinced, and he says, well, possibly the Israelites won't listen to me. He questioned God. He says, suppose I go and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's your name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. That phrase, I am, is a very strong phrase in the Hebrew, which basically looks to the fact that this is God is sending Moses. But Moses is still questioning, and he says, well, what if they don't believe me? What if they say, no, the Lord didn't appear to you? And then God gives two miraculous signs. He gives, as a shepherd, he had this staff, this stick, and he told him, throw your stick down to the ground. And so Moses did that, and as he threw it down, it became a snake. It's scary. God told him, pick up the tail, and it became the staff again. That's pretty awesome. And then he says, put your hand inside your jacket. So Moses did. When he brought his hand out, it was all covered in leprosy. That's awesome. God said, put it back again. Put it back. It came out, it was clean. What was the point of that? God was saying, I am a very powerful God, so you don't need to be afraid. But Moses is not finished yet arguing. He basically says, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. Moses is really, really not wanting to do this, right? So he's coming up with every reason he can possibly think of. And God says, I made your mouth. So God's having this conversation. And then his final desperate plea, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Isn't that so human? How many times do you maybe get a nudge and you think, oh, somebody else would do it better? We might think, how is it that Moses is called a hero of faith, but this is his human response? But it helps us to see that however we start off in our journey with God, that's not the end of the story. And I think we can be encouraging. So he does go. He does finally go and have this conversation with Pharaoh. But Pharaoh's not going to let these the Hebrew slaves go. Why? Because he's using them brutally to use the making of bricks, which they need for building of their nice buildings that we got a little look of. So we've got good reason for understanding he doesn't want them to go. But it's after that that all those plagues, he sent them. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to say to Pharaoh, I am big and I have power over nature. I have power to make locusts come, frogs come, disease come. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, it says. And Pharaoh wasn't going to do it until that final one, when God said, then I will come and destroy all the firstborn sons. And that's when he told Moses, you need to get all the people of your group to put this red blood over their doorways so that when the angel of death comes, they'll be kept safe. So why is this story told? Remember that the Hebrews who were receiving this in the book of Hebrews, the Israelites, were people who were scattered all over. They had gone out from Jerusalem. We read that in the Acts of the Apostles. And they're in countries that are not their own. So there's an overlap with the story of Moses going to a people who are not their own. And they are afraid. And so the writer of Hebrews, and we don't know who it was, is saying to them, look back at these heroes of faith and see how human they were. See how they were not tough and strong at the beginning, but that in God's strength, when you listen to God and do what he says, then you will have the purposes of God worked out in your life. So let's very briefly look at the five reasons that are given in that chapter in Hebrews 11. Why is he a hero then, as he was so weak and so argumentative? And it says that he was willing to be with those people who God led him to be with. Secondly, he was willing to step out of an easy life and not take the riches of the world. He stepped away from powerful people towards the powerful God. Fourthly, it says he persevered even when his own people moaned. And the fifth one is that he continued to keep the Passover even though they were walking through the desert. So each of those things are named in the book of Hebrews as the reason of why he was a man of faith. Because Moses started this journey as a scared man. He didn't feel prepared to do what he was being asked to do. And we know if we read the story of Moses, he wasn't perfect thereafter. He made mistakes, he tried to do things in his own strength, and he certainly didn't get things always right. That's hope for you and me then, because that's what I'm like. And I expect it's what you're like. You don't get things right all the time. But God doesn't give up on us. He didn't give up on Moses. None of us are going to be called for the same task that Moses was called for. But we can learn from the fact that God uses broken people. Broken people who he wants us to be involved in his kingdom purposes. I imagine today you, like me, feel weak and don't feel very able. You may not feel very eloquent. Mary, you said, you know, when people ask you or you tell them about your faith and they don't get response, you don't get what you want, you feel like, well, what's the point? But what God said to Moses was, I am with you. So every conversation this afternoon or any other time, we need to be reminded God is with us. So we might look like we're just serving a cream tea and having a nice chat. But if you can talk about your own faith or talk about what happens in this church, the Holy Spirit is at work even though you can't see him. The second thing that Moses did was to be willing to lead a less than comfortable life. I think this is very challenging in our society. We know that money and possessions don't make for happiness. We know that you can be surrounded by the best things in the world, but if you don't have God's purposes, God's love, God's knowledge, of you have God's knowledge, you can be a very lonely person. I was struck this week, I don't know how many of you watched the news about that young man who was in part of a pop group called One Direction, Liam Payne, and as I've done a bit of background reading, what a broken guy. Age 16, he was thrown into the pop world by Simon Cowell and those that are part of that pop industry. And yet, he wasn't prepared. He had no sense of safety with that. And so, whilst all these girls were banging on the buses and he couldn't go out and see his family, life was not rich. It looked rich. Other people want fame. Be careful what you yearn for. Young people, not that we have young people here, but be careful what we think is good. Without God at the center of our lives, it's not good. Fame does not bring happiness. The reality of money and comfort are actually like idols to us in our culture. You know, to be famous, you ask young girls, what do they want to be? Oh, I want to be on one of these pop things. I want to be famous. I want everyone to look at me and go, wonderful. They don't have any idea what they're asking for. It doesn't bring happiness. Basically, God wanted Moses to be willing to go and live a tougher life than he might have wanted to. And do you remember there was that story when this young person went to speak to Jesus? He was a religious man and he basically said, how do I enter the kingdom of God? And God said to him, or Jesus said to him, go and sell all your possessions. And it says he couldn't do it. He went away sad. Having wealth or status in our culture today, they're like the idols. People seek after them, thinking they're going to be better for them. But actually, it's not so. It's a real challenge, though, to be willing to give up our comfortable lifestyle We've prayed for Barnabas, we've prayed for Ingrid and Roger. They've left an easier life. Challenge for us is, how much are we willing to go through hard things? Give up some of our wealth, give it away. There's lots of other people who need our resources, that's for sure. So Moses went and inhabited a life for 40 years, living in tents, following the cloud by day, the fire by night. But the thing also that he persevered was, which I think is interesting, is he had to deal with an awful lot of moaning people. Moaning, groaning people who basically thought, I want to go back to Egypt because I haven't got the meat, the food. They were remembering the pots of the meat that they used to have. And Moses had to deal with that from not long after they crossed through the Red Sea. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at the Red Sea situation and think that must have been spectacular. How was it that God separated that sea so they could walk through? And then all their enemies, the water came over them. You'd think that would stick in your mind. But these people very quickly forgot the goodness of God. Now, I know for myself that I can see answers to prayer one week and then the next week find it difficult. And I need to be reminded of what happened. And the fifth thing that Moses did so well is that he remembered how God had protected the Hebrews by having the lamb's blood over the doorways. And that's a celebration that goes on amongst Orthodox Jews today. And we have that reinterpreted when we have communion, which we'll have next week. We are called to be people who remember God's power and might, just like Moses saw, so that in the days which are dark and difficult, when you don't feel God, when you don't see your prayers answered, you can go, God is still with me and God is still at work. This church, I was talking to somebody who used to come here when they were a Sunday school age. She was here helping us do the window decorations that we started on Thursday. And she said, oh, we used to run around the balcony. We used to sit there and do this and do that. And I said to her, how many people were here then? And she said, oh, I don't know. It must have been 40, 50 people. And you look back on that era and think, oh, we want that era again, God. Yes, I do, on one level. But God is at work today, and we can only use what we have today. And looking back, although God told Moses, look back, he wasn't doing it so you can just live in the rosy glow of what used to be. But to remember that it was the same God then, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're smaller in number now than we used to be, but God isn't finished with us, any of us. And so we can be people of courage that when we put on events like the one we've got this afternoon, or we've got one on the 22nd December when we're going to have some farm animals that people can come and pet on the same day that we've got the carols by candlelight. I'm just trying to put together some things that actually may draw people towards us, but we still have to be the people who talk the talk, who show the love of Jesus. So for you, in your life now, to be reminded, and we've got the words of God through the scriptures, so we need to read them. Watching The Chosen is wonderful, it's helpful, but you need to read the scriptures to know how God is at work, so that you can be grown in your own faith. Just like Moses, it took him time to see the goodness of God. So, this afternoon we have an opportunity. We can't make people become believers. They can come and enjoy singing some wonderful hymns. And we're going to finish with a hymn that we will be singing this afternoon. And I'm going to tell you a bit about the story about that one this afternoon. About Charles Wesley, who wrote it. He didn't start off being a Christian, bizarrely. He came from this wonderful family. It was Susanna who had, I think it was 19 children. But many of them died in childbirth, or just after. But Charles became a clergyman, but he wasn't a Christian. And I'm going to tell you a bit more about that story this afternoon. And it was on Pentecost Day which is the day that we celebrate the power of God coming in the Spirit. But he had a conversation with a friend, and he realized, I have never received the grace and the peace of God. So there might be people here this afternoon who have been churchgoers for many, many years and have never met God. I hope they'll come. I hope that through the telling of those stories, they will be challenged to think, oh, is there more? Because God gives us power by his Spirit. And that's my heart's cry for all of us and any people who come into this building over the next weeks. So let me pray and then we'll sing that hymn together. Thank you, God, that we get the examples of people like Moses who were just so human, so challenging, didn't want to go, had every excuse they could think of, but you used a normal man who you had prepared in advance and you took him back and he spoke to Pharaoh and then you used him to lead people. We may not be those sorts of leaders, but you've given us opportunity wherever we are, and I pray, God, that we would journey with you. We would get to know you better, and we would see how we can be a part of the influence that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.